Games Workshop's Basement, hosted by John Cardell, Danny McDevitt, Val Heffelfinger, I'm Dickie, and it's Grim After Dark.
Can I ruin the intro now, Dickie?
Now you can.
Okay, perfect. Hey, welcome to Grim After Dark, Warhammer's only late night show for some reason. My name is John, and I'm here to misinform and entertain as we talk about the goings on over the last week in the world of Games Workshop. This week, we upgrade our visuals after last week's disaster piece. Another tournament releases a statement about player bans. We talk about what it makes to make a great battle report. And we're going to test Danny's ability to convince before we bring it all home with an all-new Prices Redacted. If you enjoy what you see or what you're listening to, you can support us by liking or subscribing wherever it will let you. And if you're able to, throw a couple of dollars our way through YouTube and Patreon so I stop just shutting down using mid-sentence during words. But before we go on, let's meet the team who make it all possible. First up, he's the co-host with the co-most, all the way from Moscow, Idaho, by way of Montana. He puts the T into RTT. He's our competitive champ and casual runner-up, our very own best in show, Danny McDevitt. And he's a beautiful face of everything square-based, a fantasy enthusiast and a 40K denier, the terror of Toronto, Val Heffelfinger. Thank you for holding that pose while the TV came down. I appreciate that. And then finally, he's the man behind the Iron Curtain of Canada. He puts the couch in Canada, I think was the last thing I landed up with that one. It's Tech Priest Dickie.
What up?
How's it going? This week's comment of the week calls us out for some of the things. So last week, we did some upgrades to the show's my safety hard hat.
Oh,
as you can tell, my very small head fits this very, very well.
Almost like as a child's novelty baseball hat.
Actually, it is a beer helmet that I took the top off of when I saw my 5-year-old child playing with it and decided that he would probably not like the cups on there.
Fair enough. Yeah,
would he really like the cups, John?
Just a little dude going crazy on Kool-Aid. Yeah, he probably would. I wouldn't know.
Just throw a couple Sunny D's up there, John, and just let the morning happen. You know what I mean?
That's true. Downvoting people was worried Canada didn't spring forward at the same time as the U.S. Don't worry, they're still firmly stuck in the 1940s. But Dickie, why don't you pull up the slideshow so we can talk about our comment of the week, and I can remove this ridiculous helmet. Yeah, so our comment of the week this week, that's right, it's animated now, says, I expect the quality of the PowerPoint to remain the same going forward. Any effort to improve this will be met with fierce resistance from the fan base.
The funniest part of that is fan base.
I know. Yeah. But I guess the question is, how mad are our viewers going to be tonight? Dickie knows for sure, but just based on this one slide, Danny, Val, what are your thoughts?
8.5 out of 10, John.
Oh, 8.5 out of 10. Hmm. Yeah. Base fans. I think that's for Val's other show.
Is it centered?
God, no. Why would it be centered?
Is it centered? I like that you're finding something.
How to trigger Val.
What's bothering you about all of this?
I got to move it.
The PowerPoint itself on the screen is not.
I on purposely put the back curtain slightly off center.
Is that what's fucking with? I can't tell if it's Dickie's fault or you're trolling me. I think it's
both. All of the backgrounds that you're going to see are slightly off center as a way of ensuring the proper attention is paid towards the graphics that I've created.
Very nice. I like that.
It was maybe an homage to the 40K logo.
That's true. Yeah. Well, just whatever sounds great, we're going to do that. But we already in chat, people are absolutely outraged. So thank you. For admitting you're a fan base of whatever this is. But let's jump forward to some state of play.
There are those heart palpitations.
Well, the music was a good volume this week, I think.
That was fun.
It's the pace. It's the speed of it.
Does it bring you back to your youth and your times?
I think the PowerPoint is too far to the left, and we're all too big. I'm just saying, but I spent all my pre-show wrestling a baby. So I was unable to,
like I said,
unable to criticize at a time where I could do something about it. But you know,
like I said, Canada in the 1940s, where men wrestle babies.
He only listens to waltzes, so that's why this beat is way too fast.
That's true. It's a little 1-2-3 rhythm. But anyway, welcome to State of Play, where we take a lighthearted look at what's been going on in the Warhammer community in the last week, starting closer to home for at least half of the show with this guy here. This was an official letter. There we go. This was an official
letter. Wow. Can we go back?
Go back. Probably.
See that transition again. Look at that. He did that. That's all in camera. That is a practical effect, guys.
That is what several hours of corporate PowerPoint training will give you.
I was just expecting like a star wipe or something.
I am a card carrying plug and chugging member of the corporate world now. But
God bless.
This was a letter that was put out on the Warhammer 40K Facebook Reddit group even. Said they were addressing some concerns that have arisen regarding player conduct at the Toronto Winter Open 2024. Following the event, they received several complaints regarding the behavior of play and play of one participant. Yeah. And after a thorough investigation, confirmed the validity of these claims. The thorough investigation, I'm assuming, is just watching War Games Live, which fair play. But
War Games Live was here that weekend?
No, it wasn't War Games Live.
No, War Games Live? That was someone else.
Oh, it was someone else with a very eerily similar. It was the bootleg War Games Live.
It's like Tabletop Live. There's like a Canadian War Games Live bootleg. It's actually comical how close it is. Yes.
It's like Kirkland brand. Yes,
that's right. Kirkland brand War Games. It's the great value of Tabletop Live coverage.
Great value streams. Oh God, copyright that. We'll use that later. But what happened was after this event turned out the person who won cheated, so they've retroactively removed their golden ticket for the GW event and given it to the next person. The banter years are alive and well as we get yet another statement from a 40K tournament event, which I think we're getting more than pictures of winners from 40K's events. So Danny Val, thoughts on the latest theme of tournaments releasing statements as opposed to winner lists?
Well, I, for one, am disappointed in Sal Beffelfinger's performance that day, and in full support of his the consequences that were suffered. I think the fallout on this one is this particular player is a much like the last one. Like the one from Cherokee, someone who has just somehow managed to be tolerated for a very, very, very long time, despite having similar performance issues in the past. Mm-hmm. And I think this is long overdue.
Mad if you say you can't perform in bad, Val. I mean, that's just rude.
Look, I got no idea there. Okay. But his hard to deal with this has definitely lasted longer than 6 hours, and it's time for a temporary ban. So, well, you know,
I would love to see, and Danny, maybe you can help us with the financial viability of it, is I want an RTT that is only populated by people who have been kicked or banned from tournaments.
Oh my Lord.
And I want it all live streamed and just show the best the community has to offer. Make it like you can call the tournament the sin bin.
Isn't that just the Adepticon final?
Oh, I didn't even have this set up here. I just wait a second.
Hey, Midwest 40K, everybody.
Beautiful. Is there a higher pressure playing on stream? So I know the if you want to have a statement level response to your bad play, you need to have a veritable like list of bad behaviors. But do you think some people make mistakes or do things because of the pressure of playing on stream, especially on something like Kirkland Brand Live, where there's literally 30 or 40 people watching you?
30 or 40?
The revenue numbers in Canada.
Yeah, just bringing the house down. Danny?
Because, Danny, you've played on stream, right?
Is it? Are you asking whether it's harder to cheat when you're on stream and not get caught?
Put more pressure on yourself, player.
I don't think it should be harder to play on stream than it is to play any other time. It shouldn't be. I understand why people would be more nervous because they'd be more afraid to screw up and be like villainized. But at the same time, I think that it's really, if you're a player that doesn't like, that doesn't cheat, like you shouldn't feel nervous about being on stream. I think, I don't know, to me.
Well, just to look at some of the comments that have come out of stream games recently, things like, why did you leave a hole big enough for a monolith in the back line? You idiot. People commenting on your miniatures or your paint jobs or your moves or your plays. Does something like that dissuade? Well, maybe not someone like you, Danny, because you have all the feelings of a rock, much like myself.
Like a rock.
Would that dissuade someone from going on stream in future, seeing that just realizing the internet is full of awful people, like people who watch
and listen? Why are we conflating being an asshole and like a toxic person and nerves playing on stream? I am reminded of the a lyric from Guilty Conscience by an American poet named Marshall Mathers. in which a gentleman arrives in his house to discover his wife being having sex with another person. And
the technical term is being railed, though.
Being railed. And I believe Dr. Dre, as Sir Eminem, as his conscience, said what? That she tripped, fell, and landed on his dick. And then they decide to kill everyone. I don't really know what the example
was trying to prove here,
but
This is just an aside about playing on stream in general, because we're not all going to be statement level players. But is this going to put the fear in some people of playing on stream?
You know, John, we can all be statement level players if we try hard enough.
I live for the day that a tournament will have to release a statement about me where everyone knows it's me, but no one will say the name.
Look, yes, chats can be notoriously unforgiving, and they can also be entirely tone deaf and unable to understand when there is genuine nuance in the game, where there is understanding between the players, and or when, you know, I remember there was a Jeff Robinson game where he was playing, and the chat just thought they were having like the most combative, awful experience ever, and like one side was being called a dick, and the other side wasn't, but the reality was like far from that. They were just playing the game as they saw fit. I'm not sure if that was the example I'm thinking of, but like whether or not you're on stream does not change the material facts of the game and whether or not it was fair play and whether or not you're a jerk at the table. I think the two are mutually exclusive. And I don't think there should be, I don't think any, like what chat thinks is entirely different. And usually the those types of chats are, I don't know, maybe they're coming in from Tactical Tortoise. I have no idea why they're coming in and acting the way they are. But
we can't say that. We have to say
what?
Streamer conduct.
He didn't say that they were from Tactical Tortoise. Yeah. He said they maybe were from
Tactical Tortoise. Speculating. We're speculating.
About streamer conduct in our chat, even though everyone is aware of what it is. Let's move on to something a little happier. I'm going to move my mouse out of the way for production values.
Yep.
As get on out of there. There's this guy here, which I saw and was a fantastic little Reddit post. It says, "What is most interesting feature for Battle Report?" I think there's supposed to be another word there, but that's fine. The guy's making a website. He's been working on the last few weeks. He wants to know what makes a fantastic Battle Report.
Battlereports.ru is his website.
Wait, really?
What is most interesting feature make Battle Report?
Games Workshop banned. We have work game shop now. It's fine.
I cannot use PayPal. Please support via Telegram. Literal Telegram.
Mail cash. but yeah, what makes... So for me... whenever I think of Battle Report, I'm kind of like the paper version from White Dwarf, where you have those fantastic diagrams of the battlefield. And instead of beautiful pictures of miniatures, you have red boxes showing your units. What for you in this modern day, if you could combine kind of new and old Battle Report styling, would be your perfect Battle Report?
Hmm. So are you guys- the most important feature that a Battle Report needs to have is like, it's easy to follow. Like, I think that's like the most important feature that it needs to have. But in this day and age, I almost just want an interactive Battle Report that I can click on things and look at stuff. Like if I could, like, I love watching Games of Warhol when I'm like playing Old World and like more watching other people play. And I can just like click on units and look at stuff and like kind of try and figure it out. So if I could have something like that where I could just like watch a game take place, but like maybe move it phase by phase to see what happens. Like I would love to screw around with that.
Sorry, I think he was genuinely concerned whether or not I was okay because my face was so screwed up. But that, like, in this comment here, like, look at what he's suggesting to do. Like the second one, combat assistant generates estimated results for each phase of combat rolling based on units and weapons characteristics. Also provides settings to control modifiers and success rates. That's crazy if this is real.
If he can pull that off, he'll definitely lose interest when AR becomes a thing, if historical perspective is to be believed.
As a person who has, you know, streamed live games and debated, you know, doing battle reports live and or edited, I've always like thought like anything that could. Essentially, I think one of the biggest difficulties with 40K is the vast majority of what's happening is in the minds of the players, right? So, you know, so you can generate things that are interesting by mostly the most important thing about a battle report is having two players that can carry a game and be engaging mm-hmm. at the same time. And usually the carrying the game is kind of even secondary to that. Really, it's mostly are they engaging? Do people enjoy watching and listening to them? Which is, I think, why like streaming 40K can be hard, because you don't necessarily have guys who are also and I don't know, like you don't have people who are also just presenters necessarily on screen. Mm-hmm. But having stuff that you could overlay that and be able to tell and express the game state was always a dream that I just was never able to actually figure out how to fully do. Like even just like the fancy overlays that Actual War Games Live has achieved. That just present a lot of very valuable information mm-hmm. about what's actually happening right now. Your perspective on the table, the score, where it is, all that kind of stuff is all just like, I think, really critical to live reports. And it's done really well in that sense. But to be able to like have something on screen that somehow is generating data about what's occurring, like that would be wild.
You know what sport does on-screen stats better than anything else I've seen in a long time? Is Major League Soccer.
MLS, really?
I've started watching that season over here because I'm trying to get my son to enjoy soccer as much as I do. And sadly, he can't get up at 6 a.m. to watch it with me when it's in Scotland.
Well, forcing a child to get up at 6 a.m. to enjoy something is definitely a dad thing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I think that is clearly...
Also, during the games, he's really distracting. So I would prefer if it was teams I didn't care about as much.
He'll also hate you right now. And then mm-hmm. like 15 years from now,
will hate me still.
We'll still hate you, but we'll wake up at 6 a.m. to watch soccer. So like that is the correct way. But anyway, continuing.
So before the game even starts, they have a bar that shows up, which says chance of winning. And it has like 70% one team, 30% the other team. And this is
the win probability stat. Yeah.
Win probability stat, which adjusts throughout the game, which I think is my favorite thing I've seen in a long time. So I would love to see something like that in a stream or a live. Is if you say have Jack Harpster coming in against John Smith, who's playing his third, you know, like having that win percentage be like high, but then adjust, which I'm sure you could do based on like an ELO percentage or something like that as the game goes on. But the hard part then is like, how do you appropriately adjust it based on game state? Like that requires like such in-depth knowledge of the game. What's happening?
The win probability stat is generated by having thousands and thousands of games of data and parsed into minute by minute and game situation. So of all the teams who were in this, you know, where the ball was in this part of the field, like in the NFL, anyway, where the ball was in, at, on this hash mark with the score at this place, what was the chance that they won? That's how it's being generated. So like to do that with 40K, you would have to A, find some way to, again, there's no doubt that it's possible to like have something set up that could read a screen. Like we roll into dice trays. We could have some, like it is possible that a computer would be able to read dice.
Unless.
And like you can find some way. Unless that. But like it would be possible to have something break down numbers as you're going. I'm sure it would just be a hilarious misappropriation of powerful technology to do it. And then if you had that, if you had essentially the stats of a game, this would be much easier starting from something like Warhol or TTS, because you could have the stats of the game for thousands of games, and then you would know, you know, in this particular matchup, this particular player, what were the odds that the person could win from this position. You could do that, but it would require like a lot of hilarious effort.
Danny, you're in good with the Goonhammer people now. Make it happen. It's solely solely on your shoulders. I heard they put this functionality in part two. So if enough people subscribe, you can make it happen.
That's locked behind the paywall, John.
I'm pretty sure the Battles app is still free to play, is it not?
Oh,
it's free to play. Tell your overlords at Goonhammer to get to start supporting Old World.
Yeah. Speaking of Danny, I'm particularly proud of this animation based on how terribly I cropped out your wife. But it's gonna free. There you go. Whoa.
Okay.
Like this PowerPoint is really intimidating here.
You, Danny, this week you played Warhammer.
I played one game of 40K, John.
This is you grabbing Warhammer by the BCP, which is why this slide took longer to load than others. Because recently you've been super steeped in the Old World, and obviously kind of that's your first love, and everything's kind of gone through that. But this past week I was interested because you went back to 40K and played an actual game. So after spending so long in the Old World, a whole month and a half, you could say, how is 40K feel coming back?
I'm ready to go back to Old World, John, to be quite honest with you. I don't know if you were expecting that to be my answer, but
I was.
It was kind of a little bit. It was fun though. I had a good time playing the game. Honestly, playing a different game and then coming back to 40K is always kind of refreshing, because some of those things that you've been practicing kind of like are easily transferable. So I was just like, all right, well, I am going to just play to table my opponent and just kind of try and do some missions on the way. And that worked.
kicked it old school
for a while.
Old school.
I was going to say the Old World tactic of good luck scoring when you're dead.
Yeah.
Well, that's how you score in the Old World. You murder your opponent.
Yeah. But I'm going to let you just sneeze or kind of look sad for a second there, Danny. No, you're good. But what are some things that you appreciated more about 40K coming back from Old World? And what is something that you didn't like about 40K now coming back from Old World?
One of the things I didn't like was I didn't feel like my army had enough close combat. I was playing Necrons. I did bring 3 Satan. But I think I'd want to do more close combat stuff. But it was fun. I don't know. The stuff that I like about Necrons is a very different way that you can't really replicate in fantasy, except for like maybe like vampire counts with the resurrection and stuff like that. Like the recursion is the really fun part about Necrons to me. So I did get to play with 2 big blocks of warriors, and I did really enjoy that. But I managed to kill all of my opponents. He brought an entirely Deathwing army.
Oh.
And I brought kind of a meta, like, Necrons list, and it was...
He brought a fun little Dark Angels list to survive completely unscathed from their new codex. Same power level, right? Really, Lionel?
Really the same, yeah.
Yeah. Totally worth those extra 70 points over a Catan, right?
Well, to be fair, he didn't bring the Lion. So I did. I that was probably a good choice.
It's the meta choice right now, right? And then what's something that you, as you said, you did like about 40K coming back
from? Oh, yeah. I mean, I love the imagery of the game, right? Like, and the moving objectives every turn is really fun. Like just trying to do different things all the time and kind of trying to move around the table. I was playing the Necron, the Hypergrip Legion. And so being able to teleport all over the table was really cool and very fun. So I really enjoyed kind of the extra mobility that I don't necessarily get out of Old World all the time. Mm-hmm. Although I did teleport an Arachnorok spider the other night, and yeah, that did. Was like one of the best things I've ever done in my life.
We've lost you completely. Even the thing you found fun about 40K, you found funner in Old World.
Well, I'm sorry.
I know
giant what we're spider. Working here. It was a giant spidey.
The massive
it was a spider. Really big spider, John. I don't think you understand quite how large the spider is. It's really big.
Super big. Let's go.
I want to know more about what you were using your Arachnorok for. What were you, like? Like, was this a real life game or was it Warhol?
It was Warhol.
So what? Because we did a little deep dive on Squarespace today on the O's and G's. A three hour marathon of talking about Orcs and Goblins, and I was a dead man by the time I got to the Ragnarok. I was like, I want it to be good, but I don't know if it's good. I can't tell. So what were you doing with your Ragnarok? What made you want to take it?
So I was looking for another option for a level 4 in my troll heavy list.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that like a goblin odd knob, because I kind of want to stay clear of night goblin characters right now.
Gotcha.
Because I know that they're good, right? Everybody knows night goblin characters are, yeah, especially the shamans are ace. So yeah, I just wanted to play something a little different. And I'm like, you know, he's a 10 wound model, like, and he's a level 4 wizard. And yeah, he's a lot of points, but like, I think he's totally good on the flank. I just rolled Bomb Magic on him and he had Here We Go. So he was like movement 7 with Swift Stride with also an extra D3. And then he's got a giant base for when you cast Evil Sunshine in.
Yep.
So he was cool in all those scenarios. And then, yeah, that just the character teleport, like Hand of Mark or whatever, being able to pick up a single character and teleport them 2d6 inches. And like, it's not wholly within that distance. It's just within that distance.
Yeah. And he's got a huge base.
You can kind of twist the base, get a little bit of a different perspective.
Yep.
Anyway, sorry, John.
This is what I tell my wife all the time. Just twist the base and get a different perspective. Let's go
crank
around
the base. Crank that base.
And crank that bass worked because we went straight into a very nice, appropriately volumed dance number.
That wasn't bad. That was all right. Really, really good.
Welcome to Rather Than That.
Fast? I feel like the beat there was faster than the previous one, though, Val.
The part of the show where I find weird stuff from online and we talk about it. Starting with this one here. Be gone.
Oh,
there we go.
Holy moly.
Yikes. I found this one a couple weeks ago. He says, hi, I am looking for a Warhammer player to join my esports team in an online event I run on my YouTube channel. You do not have to display your face on the channel, Dickie, you listening? Yep. But you will be able to chat with the rest of the team in opposition during the 30-minute game. Oh. I'm hoping to run a short game on my YouTube channel using similar rules to one-page rules. Please let me know if you're interested, and I will send you more details. YouTube channel is hidden because, yeah. No free publicity. Pay me.
Well, I'm curious.
You're curious.
Also, did you invert the Warhammer logo in the picture?
I did.
Okay.
I did. The hammer covered beard.
Got it.
It seemed the smoothest way to the cover there. My question for this year, like for one, I just loved the picture setup with like five Walmart shelves in the back, shelving units in the background with a single model of shelf.
Just one guy.
And it reminded me of the Photoshop someone did of Casino Royale, where like the bad guy is just like playing 40K at the table, because there's an air of evilness to it. But speaking of air of evil, what are your guys' thoughts of one page rules? It's something that's kind of gained traction the past few years. A simplified rule set. What do you think of those?
I've never played one page rules, but I think it's an interesting business model for sure. So they have, they're sort of a 3D printing Patreon that is also supported by sort of free to use rules. And seems to be very organically building up, an actual playing community of people, which is, I don't know, it's interesting practice. You know, I'm sure the 3D printer go burr people would be like, this is the future. This is what, look out, Games Workshop, they're coming for you. But it's, definitely seems to be a sustainable model for them. And people seem to really enjoy the rule sets, I think. I don't know the first thing about the games, how they play or otherwise. Yeah. Have either of you guys even seen a one-page rule game played? Or played one? Danny, you play everything. Have you played one-page rules?
No, I played one-page rules before. It's fine. Sorry. It's fine. If that's what you're into, like, and you don't want the same kind of level of crunchiness that you're going to get out of like Warhammer or other more complicated games, I think it's really good for that. It's great for beer and pretzel stuff. Like, that's the idea behind it. So I think that's what you really need to have your expectations set if you're going to think that it's going to be like a total replacement for something that's, a little bit more complicated, a lot more complicated.
Does one page rules remove immersion from the game? Because for me, like a lot of you like the storytelling and the things you're doing in your own head as the game progresses and are building throughout the game and the different moves you make using your different rules really sort of immerses me personally in the battlefield. Does a very simplified rule set remove that?
I think it's more boring. I mean, to me, because I like my units to be represented by being able to do something cool and unique on the table. And so when they're not really able to do that because they're just the generic version of, heavy infantry or whatever else, that's less fun for me.
I think, I don't know if it's on this show or one of the other shows, but and whether or not I was involved in the conversation, I don't even know, man. My life is a dream. But just the idea that game mechanics are, it was all a dream. Game mechanics are what drive narrative. So I think this is something coming back to something the old world where there is lots of different little rules that describe things that happen in the game. When that rule is used, you're imagining that thing happening. You know what I mean? So they actually do create more granularity to the action on the tabletop, which is, I think, essentially what Danny's saying there. And I don't know with Games Workshop and how they've sort of consistently tried to, simplify, but not simple, the game to try and streamline it. I think a lot of people have blamed, their bias towards tournament gamers and stuff like that for why suddenly 40K feels a little more like something's missing. And I think what's missing is a lot of that. Pardon?
Sterile.
Yeah, it feels very, probably feels a little vanilla, feels not as interesting. And that's from the list building on up. And I think that's because as you remove mechanics, you remove detail from the game. And you lose a lot of those elements that make them very visceral things. You can still pretend that something cool happened, but the more generalized the mechanic is and the more broad strokes it is, the less detail you have and the less satisfying perhaps that the game that you see in your head is.
You're expecting your whole player base to be able to picture an apple and really just can't do that.
I don't think it's something that you would necessarily realize until you start stripping it back, until you don't have those things. And then as Danny said, going between two different rule sets, I'm sure that's also a part of why Heresy players who've been grinding a version of 7th edition 40K for, a decade plus, we'll say that is, it's more realistic or whatever, but there are legitimately more mechanics in that game that will spark joy, you know, and like create moments as you play. And yes, it's more complicated and there's more of a mental load as you're playing it, but it's a little bit more satisfying because it does, like, one page rules, I don't know, but like, it's not as if 40K is easy to play. It's not like for anyone off the street, like who maybe has played a fancy board game, it would still be the most complicated game that they would have ever attempted, like by a mile.
I just want to say, by the way, Jay like, Cow and Jack giving us the worst burn I've ever received. He said, you guys are almost as entertaining as Auspex Tactics. Hey, Cal, the amount of effort I put into this PowerPoint makes me very sad to compare to that.
Keep it up, boys. Keep it up, boys.
No, it's genuine. Sorry. An AI reading stuff, reading a script that someone has written. Maybe someday.
Someday, maybe.
Do you think at some point... Auspex
Tactics is still on the whiteboard for me.
Do you think Auspex Tactics, like, AI voice cloned himself and is literally just like cranking out.
Why wouldn't you?
You think it's been his voice at any point during this whole time? No. I feel like it's got to be.
Yeah. Well, no, I think. I mean, Rob I've always Spence assumed it was a person, but voice. Like, Rob maybe has a it's very not.
Voice, so he had to mask it. And he's Auspex Tactics.
Well, that just fucked with me real bad. Thanks, Danny. Is there is there a Power Rangers crossover with 40K? What the hell is this?
So this this is Call of Duty is getting a 40K character pack.
Oh my god!
Coming in, and these are the characters we made fun of how ridiculous the Primaris look. Don't worry, they're a kill streak upgrade that you call in. What you get to be is either this guardsman, the sister, or this sweet.
Whoa!
Space Marine Scout.
Danny, you really missed an A+ enhanced joke there. Like, you really need to work that in there.
Where do you think this scout was January 6th?
That was exactly the joke I was going to make. he's a true patriot.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
I'm pretty sure I saw this guy last summer in front of my nation's capital in a giant truck.
Yeah.
Was he drinking a Black Rifle coffee like coffee cup? I'm pretty sure, probably, yeah.
Yeah. Val, why does this man no longer get invited to family events?
That would be because he's never been vaccinated, John.
He John, has two hearts, no vaccines.
He hasn't completed his court ordered, his court mandated 12 hours of anger management.
I would, like, okay, now the narrative in my head is, you know how like the Space Marines call each other brother? Like, brother, brother.
Yeah.
Just like, bro, bruh, bruh.
Yo, bruh, 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 bruh.
On my point, bruh. Danny, where can we get Citadel sunglasses?
You know, there's only one man in 40K who's known for his sunglasses, and that's Reese.
Reese,
I just also want to say,
I'm not trying to throw shade there.
Trying to throw
Hevel
shade.
Fingers. Oh,
zinger!
Throwing the Hevel.
Also, fingers. I just want to call out that that was the most un-40K thing ever. Because did you see the trigger discipline on that scout? There's no trigger discipline in the fucking 41st millennium. What the hell is that? Safety's off, finger on the trigger, all times.
Mm-hmm. There you go. It's a new 40K team name. Safety's off, finger on the trigger. It's unwieldy. But we are going to move. I skipped past a couple. Ironically, I moved the Necron ones up so we could joke about them this week. But then I skipped past them again because I wanted to get to our Patriot Scout. What I do have for us is our brand new segment. We got some JAD. Guys, it's JAD time. It's like JAG, except I don't know what those initials mean. And Danny's name starts with a D. The aim? We are going to test Danny's persuasive power as I present three separate points of view from Internet Powerhouse Forum, Daka Daka.
No. Oh,
then
no.
Have Danny, as our show-appointed attorney, to argue why their point of view is either right or wrong based on my decision. And before we begin, attention, the following content does not constitute legal advice. It is important to consult a qualified attorney for specific legal guidance tailored to your situation. Remember, this segment is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as legal counsel. Furthermore, laws vary by jurisdiction and can change over time. Always seek professional legal advice before making any decisions based on information obtained here. Remember, your individual circumstances may require personalized legal services. This segment serves as a general disclaimer and not as a substitute for professional legal counsel.
Man, that guy ran out of breath at the end of that.
Sure did.
He was running. Oh,
what do
oh,
I,
oh,
what do?
I built a thing. Wait.
Am I?
Yeah.
So, am I Daka Daka in this? Am I the defendant? What's?
You're my bailiff.
Oh, okay. I'm Bull from Night Court. Sick.
Oh, boy.
I don't know how we're going to fit the... I'm going to have to redo the slideshow next week for this bit, Dickie, but that's okay. Because let's see how you get this in here. Maybe you could just squeeze it in underneath here.
Yeah, oh, boy.
I'll just...
I mean, like, I'm pretty sure my side of the show is completely superfluous. You could just put it over my face.
Yeah, there you go. Just move them over.
Perfect. Why am I below the desk?
Where would you like to be?
If I'm the bailiff, top right. Put me top right. Oh, no, but I'll be behind the PowerPoint still.
There you go. No, you're good there. You're good there.
Right there. Right underneath underneath Danny's cords. That's where you
put. Okay, great.
Stenographer Val. That's the typey person, I think. All right, Dickie, bring up the logo.
Oh, geez.
You're always at your best when I make you edit and produce live.
I hate it so much.
I'm sure it's even. Just kidding.
He's doing all right.
Yeah.
He's doing great.
Yeah.
Well,
look at this go.
Mm-hmm. I'd put it all the way to the top, then resize it. There you go.
There we go. Perfect.
Nice. Well,
let's move on. You guys, I'm going to blow you away with more transitions. Whoa.
Oh, no.
Can you read that? No, but don't worry because I have another copy right here. The first argument brought before the court. When I started wargaming, do-it-yourself was a core part of the experience. Buildings, terrain, rules, even miniatures were not widely available. Get us back to the court, said Dickie.
Oh, geez, sorry. Doing? I apologize.
Still ignore that for no reason.
My bad. Okay.
Therefore, if you want to play a war game, you had to build it all. If you look at the RT books, you see kit bashes, homemade stuff, and other stuff. There were books and tools for how to do it yourself as products. Nowadays, you can literally buy everything you need. Buildings, terrain, variant models, game mats, bases, ets. So is wargaming still punk? Does it encourage DIY? Or is it commodity to a point where DIY has been pushed out? Has the new age of 3D printing enhanced or reduced DIY? Is it culturally acceptable in wargaming circles and clubs to have a lot of DIY materials in their games? I've already ruled in this, Danny. Don't worry. So my verdict for this is it is not punk. It's not acceptable to DIY.
Wow, what a fucking... Look at that. Sorry, I'm going to get fined. I'm going to get fined
That's a fine.
Disturbing
Danny, the court here.
Daddy, please explain to the court why it is not punk to make your own things and instead buy them from corporations.
I guess it's kind of sticking in the face of corporations, I suppose, but I think that argument is poor because, well, any number of reasons, but the first reason that I would say that that's a poor choice is because everybody, while they were building all of these models, doesn't necessarily, like, we all wanted this to be able to buy this stuff. Like, very few people, like, unless you're very interested in actually doing your own work, want to build all of their models. So, yeah, I mean, I guess if you want to be punk and stick it to the man, you can still build your own models. Nobody's stopping that. If you want to print your own models, I mean, I don't know. You're paying money to a different corporation for another device so that you can do basically the same thing, but for probably cheaper. I don't know if that's punk or not. I don't think so. I don't think that's any of those things. But yeah, is it violating societal norms to build models? No. What even is this? It was a rambling, incoherent, like complaint fest that people, youngins are lazy and they don't do stuff anymore?
Danny.
That's
pivoting to the classic argument of the youth just don't understand.
Also, when did crafting become punk? You know, like when did arts and crafts become punk?
A lot of patches, well.
Yeah.
It's true. There's a lot of fucking patches. 100% true.
Denim jackets don't just come with their sleeves off already. You need to do that yourself. Let's move on here. Our next argument. I'm literally just done now. I'm super happy. Like I just blow in.
Like I'm on some kind of professional show here, but I know that I'm on Grim Afternoon.
Are you? It's really weird. Are you an animator from Transformers?
I have taken several hours of PowerPoint presentation classes provided for free by my workplace.
Michael Bay Performing Arts Center.
The next post from Daka Daka. This is a more simple one when I got the concept of what I wanted down. Is focusing on the competitive scene really good for the survivability of the game? Your verdict is no. So Danny, why is it not, or why is focusing on the competitive scene not good for the survivability of 40K?
Why is not focusing on the competitive part of 40K bad for 40K? Or good for 40K?
So is for the question is focusing on the competitive scene really good for the survivability of the game? My judgment is no. You have to justify it now.
Okay. No, it's not, John, because the vast majority of players that play this game don't play it in a capacity where they're competing competitively. They're playing in a capacity where they are playing for fun in their homes. And so when you kind of isolate your largest demographic from that, when you isolate the largest demographic from like what they're trying to achieve in the game, which they're focusing more on the tournament aspect of it. Those people feel like their voices aren't heard. Also, I've heard numerous complaints. This is anecdotal evidence, of course, but like people complaining that the rules move too fast, things come out too fast, things change too much. So they're not able to actually enjoy the game because they're constantly trying to like keep up with it as it's moving forward. And that's difficult for them.
Yeah. Crip Shadow and Chat, by the way, saying true fact, I was reading a Daka Daka article about someone calling out a cheater. And one poster said, and I quote, "I'd rather play a cheater than a name caller. They are very creative." To which I respond, they haven't heard me call people names. It's incredibly creative.
It's really mean, you guys.
It is. Our final one, Danny, I don't know if you can guess my verdict on this one already. The statement is 40K traditionally a child's game, while Fantasy was the serious game adults played circa 2003? The verdict on this one is, you agree.
We agree that 40K is the child's game?
Yeah. I gave you an easy one end there because I've ragged on Fantasy.
The one that I actually agree with here.
I have ragged on Fantasy way too hard over the past 8 years to throw this up there and be mean about it.
Yeah, so, I think a lot of people consider the skill expression of 40K to be very high. I find that the skill expression that you can find in Ranks and Flanks to be usually much higher, especially if the level of game complexity is similar or greater. As I feel like the complexity of Old World, for instance, is greater than 40K in my mind. The complexity in 40K comes from the missions, and the complexity in Old World comes from the gameplay. So I think if you can... What's that?
That was a very insightful fact that you just threw at us in a joke segment.
The people are complex. I said the people are complex. It was
look, people are always complex, right? Right, Val? I think that you'll find that like 40K is like both games are have a huge the large majority of their component of playing is maneuvering, but in 40K it's maneuvering to stand around. And in Fantasy, it's kind of maneuvering to like get an edge over your opponent. Like you're maneuvering to get on an objective or to be a unit that trades with another unit so you can capture an objective. That's all of 40K is like that very is a trading system where in Fantasy, a lot of times you're going to trade a couple of times, maybe even if you have to, in order to get like a really good points buy. So that's why I think plus, the 40K has a lot more bright colors. You have these rounded kind of aliens. Sci-fi is always more popular than Fantasy, I would say. So I think that's for those reasons, I would say 40K is more geared towards children and Fantasy is geared more towards adults.
Beautiful. I'm even going to have Dickie build a frame around this for the next time we do it. To enjoy the set. And there's a fun joke we haven't done yet that we're going to save for when the show's really bombing. And I just have to leave.
Oh, God.
let's do some eBay Prices Right to round this out.
Whoa, we're still doing eBay Prices Right?
Oh, yeah, we're doing eBay Prices Right.
Amazing.
The problem is the bumper's not working, so someone sing it.
Oh, yeah, I got.
Let that money fall. Look at that. God damn.
Do you think those are representative of credits in 40K? What is the currency of 40K?
Throne.
It's Thrones.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is also a swear word. So that's kind of weird that your currency is also.
Could you imagine, like, if you stubbed your toe and you're like, dollar? It wouldn't.
John, I can't think of anything more capitalist than that.
I was also just saying, it'd be funny if, like, in some far future, like, former presidents become swear words. You're like, God, George Washington. It'd be pretty good.
Oh, man. I think in the mouths of many people, some presidents are already swear words that they use.
Trump.
Thanks, Will. I'm going to have to respond to two people calling us a leftist liberal, like, love fest or whatever
my other show is called Square Based, for God's sakes, people. Like, wake up, sheeple.
Yeah, it's woke based, more like.
Yes.
Can't you tell?
Hundo P.
So anyway, greetings, bargain lovers of YouTube. Get ready to test your powers of fiscal evaluation and the prices redacted. Today, we're going to challenge our team and their knowledge of secondhand miniatures. Today's mission, accurately assess the sacred value of the sold items I found searching for Warhammer savings in honor of daylight savings time ruining my Monday. Our first contestant, hailing from Moscow, Idaho, currently residing in Montana. I can't think of something funny for that. It's Danny McDevitt.
Oh yeah, I never asked why Danny was in a different place. Well, cover that another time.
He's on the lamb.
He's on the lamb.
And then his opponent.
Hello, everyone.
You know him. You love him. And unless, of course, you believe he's just a political shill ruining Warhammer with his opinions.
Mm-hmm. Yet it's me. It's me.
Yeah, so it is. Let's close this up. Get rid of this GIF here. And let me reload this brand new thing here that we're going to call eBay Prices Right. Yeah. So this is Warhammer Savings is what I searched this week in honor of daylight savings time, making me wake up early and have all my school assignments be due an hour earlier. So the first thing we're looking at here is this Warhammer 40K Dark Elder Drukhari Ravager new fast save on Rur.
Regular retail price.
So starting with Val, I read it like I say it. You put it on the auto cue. I'm going to read it.
Yep.
Starting the with
auto
Val,
cue.
How much are we spending, or did someone spend on this?
So that is a bog standard Drukhari Ravager.
New fast or
also from what I vaguely know, sold to August 11th. When did you pull these?
Pulled these yesterday. It's just sold listings.
I thought sold listings only lasted 6 months. Anyway, is that 6 months ago? No, it's more than any. Shut up. Okay. I'm going with US dollars.
Yeah.
I have no idea what a Ravager costs. I'm going to say $45 US.
$45 US. Danny.
Doesn't sound fast.
Is that a fast price? Is that chowed?
Let's say $50, John.
Whoa.
$50. Whoa. The actual price was.
$39.87.
That is nice, John. Val, famous with his knowledge of Drukhari eBay items. Our next one.
True. It's a specialty.
Next one. There we go.
Oh, no.
For Pyro Jimmy Thizer Viginous Declan combined to save GDP shipping, brand new.
Wow.
Holy moly.
Wow. This is something that's sold?
Yeah.
Yep.
$1 as well. Does that fit in your time period?
How did anyone even find this? How did you find this? Like, there's no keyword in there that what? I guess, how you?
Algorithm, Val.
I'm going $1. I'm going $1 here. $1.
$1.
$10.
Actual price is.
Suspense.
Click on the right part of the screen.
What? $32.
$32.90.
No way.
Was he a limited release guy or something? Like, yeah. Okay.
Was he?
What was that?
I don't know. I couldn't decode what they actually had down as the person's name. So I have no idea what he is. He might be from the Imperium magazine or kind of one of the
patchwork. Could be one of those Japanese heroes.
Collections. No idea.
Like the booster pack thing that they only sell in Japan for some reason.
Yeah.
Space Marine Heroes.
I think you guys are both wrong. I think that was for drugs.
Oh, okay.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. Well, from cheap drugs. But the shipping.
Wouldn't know anything about it.
The shipping is what kills you. Oh, yes.
Modern Cheech and Chong. The Space Marine is made of drugs.
One apiece. The next one here. Warhammer 40K Space Marines Adeptus Astartes Blood Angels Army Joblot. Save $200.
Oh. Save $200 off RP. These are some terror. I've never seen. I'm in privileged eBay land because I've never seen product descriptions this terrible before.
Looks like we have two Death Company units.
Danny leading off.
Devastator squad. Two Devastator squads, looks like. A Rhino, a Tactical Squad, and then five Terminators.
Not very Blood Angel, if you ask me.
Yeah. No.
It says save $200.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like $5. No, sorry. You said 100?
Hundo.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Val.
5, 10. 35. Oh, fuck you.
He's Rain Manning.
Same math. 150.
150. The actual answer was 199.18.
It was an Australian. That's where
dang it.
Yeah. It was probably Adam. Yeah.
The next one here, Citadel Plastic Glue. Seven ooze. Games Workshop / Warhammer 40K. Huge savings.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. So this thing probably costs like something comical. I don't know. Maybe $15 retail.
I was going to say, I think they're $15.
So I'm going to say on huge savings, I'm going to give this one a
$9.99. Danny.
$5, John.
$5. Hopefully I don't have to do math. $9.65.
Destroyed from orbit.
Yeah, 2 weeks in a row.
Oh.
Getting my stride back. Oh, no.
And then, Danny, you can't win this week, but you can pull back some semblance of pride. This is 40K Warhammer 40000 second edition 1993 Oop box set Games Workshop.
Now it's not in shrink. But these things you sell for.
It's been cracked. It's been cracked.
I'm assuming it's complete. Box set seems to be all in there. I'm going 450.
Whoa.
450.
Wow.
Danny. What would you have gone if it wasn't shrink?
More than that, probably.
Fair enough. No further questions.
John, the answer here is simple. And yeah. Val's overlooked something extremely critical. My bid is $420.
$290. 19 bids, though.
Well done. They got up there. $290.
I'm surprised.
So maybe the new and shrink would have been the 450 mark. But I feel it'd be higher than that, even.
But, you know, like, it's just maybe someone is trying to really game the system and they want to run that official GW model dreadnought to the cardboard one as a killican to really save some space.
Nice.
Yeah. Guys, it was a show. We did it. I stumbled over some things. I forgot to include any fun slides, but for me, the visuals are what matter now. When we're and also an audio podcast, it's really important to just ignore the content that you can hear to really push what you can see.
Yeah.
I'm trying to scramble very, very quickly, sort by price, highest first. Come on, come on. There was a second edition box set plus Dark Millennium bundle for $850. Is that sold? Yeah, so that was sold. here's the $225. I don't know. I guess maybe I was overstating it a little bit there. They're pretty rare.
Yeah.
Cool. Cool, cool, cool.
Who would have thunk? Guys, plug your stuff and then we can get going.
Great episode. Look at this. It's like he hired a graphic designer.
Oh, God, no. I stole art through an AI program to make that. So I apologize to artists.
But AI can spell now?
If you have a terrible opinion, by the way, that AI art is actually art, that's a garbage opinion.
You know who believes that? Fucking
garbage people.
Fucking mega Space Marine Scout believes that.
So he might. He might.
Even though he was created by an AI generator. So, you know, you'd think he's going to respect his.
Yeah. I think Mega Scout's going to come back. I like that man. His shades. He speaks to me. He's going to barbecue over the summer.
Peter Mega. Yeah.
Val, you said new episode of Square Base this morning and every Tuesday morning or night or whenever you listen to it. What happened this week?
This week we did we've got a new format called Tight Tens. We wound up doing a tight 25 on what we think is going to happen with the Adeptus reveal. I thought
you were just rating women, which was like a real big departure for you guys.
You know, we're so precious and innocent that has not yet occurred to me.
this is a tight 10?
That's funny. And then we did a pretty decent little chat about Orcs and Gabbos, which was fun. A very long discussion about the unit entries and such. So I think it was actually wound up interesting and good. Can't wait to we did one on Magic that, like, within, I don't know, 12 hours, I pretty much realized everything I said was a terrible take. So let's see how this one ages. I think it'll be a little better, but probably not. Probably gonna just be curdled as soon as it hits the internet.
Crip Shadow coming in saying, by the way, Tight Tens is your segment rating Warhammer female sculpts from the old world.
Oh, that write that down.
Or we could just do old Trish. What's her last name? I can't remember. But there's a female sculptor who's got some legendary.
She does all the monsters.
And then it was Carden.
Carden, I think.
Yeah, she's amazing. And what's been super cool is she's been reacting to the old world stuff coming out, being like, "Oh, I hope some of my stuff sees the light of day." And people are like, "What is it?" She's like, "Well, I'm not saying," and I respect that.
Well, she's from an era. She's from an era of sculpting that, like, she would be credited, especially in Forge World. In Forge World, they used to actually name each sculptor for each piece, which was cool. Either way, we did about 3 hours on Orcs and Goblins, so I have no idea how many people are actually going to watch it, but. It was a great chat, and neither Rob nor I got any sleep last night, so we both look absolutely wrecked, and just go on cope somewhat semi-coherently about Orcs and Goblins. And then, Danny, what happened? Why aren't you guys doing it? Army reviews? You guys did an army review. You did Warriors of Chaos, and now it's been 2 weeks in a row of
It's of because chatting. I asked him to tell me how to play Bretonians.
We were just letting some votes accumulate to decide which one we were going to do next, so we're going to do Bretonians next, I think, but I'm not sure when that's going to get released. It might be a episode or two down the pipe because we've been getting some pre-reports in, so
what do you think?
So check us out weekly on that old world charm. You can catch Adam, Peter and I talking about old world stuff. It's a pretty exciting time. We review stuff, we look over rules, we talk about some of our games. But we went over some magic items and some special rules and stuff like that from this last episode, and that was that was pretty good. That we talked about kind of what we feel like the meta is right now, what lists are really good, and kind of what stuff is working and what stuff is not for us. So,
list building tips, very useful.
I am excited to use you, Danny, much like a horse owner uses a racehorse, where I'm just going to give you my army of models and you're going to win a tournament. And then I'll be like, yeah, I won that tournament because it was my stud that did it with the tools given.
Register as John Quinnell.
They don't ask you for IDs of these things, man. It's fine.
So topic from our tight 10 was Adepticon reveal coming up like a week from now. I guess we have another show to talk about it. But Danny, do you think we're going to see another army revealed as being released for Old World, or just more orc stuff?
I feel like it's going to be likely, although I also feel like we're going to see a few more new orc maybe some new orc models. I don't know, but we'll see exactly what's going to come out.
I think it's time for the dwarves, baby.
I think they tipped their hand with orcs already. I think orcs is already fully announced.
I think it's dwarfy time.
I think it's time for. Well,
Get to see three. We got to see like three Bretonian special characters. It might be, but we haven't seen all of the models for them yet either, right? Yes. We're missing the guy with the axe. He's not been released.
That's true. Yeah, he hasn't even been. He hasn't. Well, maybe he's Edward Floppy Hands.
I did have my foot mage. She's not been released yet.
Yeah. Elise Duchamp. Oh,
yeah. She's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Toes.
So Dickie, so, but we've at least seen her picture, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, like we know what she looks like. But I feel like we saw there's at least one special character that they've revealed for orcs. So yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe there's some more orc shit that might appear. That'd be cool. And there's that really wicked Forge World War boss that was a new sculpt that they've revealed, who looks really great. I'm nervous about the orc release because there's definitely like even just like the command set for orcs, because the Night Goblin command was available for a long time. Actually, I have those guys, but I've never been able to buy the Forge World BSB for orcs, and it's so sick.
It's a really cool model. Yeah,
I got sack.
I hope they announce dwarves next, or whatever the next faction is. I hope they get that in there.
We're all assuming dwarves because of that dice thing. There was some dice leaked like a while back. Yeah. So, and also dwarves would make sense.
Grip Shadow, with probably the most likely cause of Adeptcon, which is Age of Sigmar, Volume 4.
Yeah,
will be the big one. Thanks, Gaven.
Age of Sigmar reboot.
New halflings. All I want is halflings. That's all I'm. I'll play that game when there's halflings.
The halflings. The halflings were a Blood Bowl thing. Dickie sort of display. Actually, they were gnomes.
Like,
actually,
looks like I'm never playing AOS then.
I love that gnomes are a thing in Blood Bowl now. That's fucking comical.
I just love I can adjust it so I can have my like Vindicator tank be shooting a fox out of it, because that fox is like perfectly positioned. To be shot out of a tank. And could you imagine, like, if you're like a gene stealer cultist, like hunkering behind a wall with all of a sudden just a really angry and confused fox lands beside you?
I think leagues of gnome tan have play. I think you could do something like that. That'd be pretty sweet.
Are you the League of Votan? No, we're the smaller League of Votan.
We're the Association of Votan.
Oh, beautiful. Well, anyway, thank you everyone for joining us here on Grim After Dark. You can find all of our socials and way to support us at grimafterdark.com. We'll be back next week, live 10 p.m. Eastern-ish on a Tuesday. And if you enjoyed yourself, check out our back catalog on YouTube, or even, like the guys were saying, That Old World Charm or Square-Based for more Danny, Val, and Dickie. But from everyone here at Grim After Dark, we will see you next Tuesday.
It's time to step into the grim darkness, where nerds gather talking Warhammer madness. Grim After Dark, the podcast with the hosts, John, Danny, and Val, but they're not the most. Claiming to be experts, but it's all a facade. Talking about battles and dice rolls, they're all odd. Trying to sound cool with their Warhammer talk, but I'm here to expose. It's all just squawk. Nerds, everywhere I see, talking Warhammer this, like it's a decree. But let me tell you, homie, it is all just a game. In the real world, homie, We are not the same. So put down the dice, step out of the dark. It's time to live life, nerd. Make your own mark. Grim after dark, the nerd's playground. Talking Warhammer this, acting all profound. But when I listen, it's all just a bunch of noise. I love roasting nerds and their stupid ass toys. Stupid ass toys, I wanna grab them. Put my hands around the neck, squeeze, squeeze, Warhammer squeeze, until they can't breathe or breathe again. Tell a friend, I'm out here roasting nerds again.